You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1, for workers, by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10-plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.
Manny Botard.
Botard.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. You know what? I thought I'd be tired, but I'm not tired. I think I'm good.
For Friday afternoon, it's not bad.
Well, it's been a really interesting week for me. I just hop in from one thing to the next thing. As you know it is, You visit sites a lot more than I do, and that's got to take a toll on you.
Hey, man, you know what? I enjoy it.
You like getting to the sites?
I like getting to the sites. I like getting my truck full of mud. I like putting mud all over my boots.
It's all mud these days.
Oh, yeah. No, it's sloppy season right now.
Better than it would be mud and snow all these days.
Well, this time of year, it's always slop. You know, this is when the forklifts get stuck, and this is when the trucks get stuck, and the telehandlers and all kinds of things are getting pulled and tugged and dragged out of the mud.
Well, we had a funny moment on the site today because a big 5-ton truck shows up on site, right, to do spray foam. And then we see the mud, and he asked me, will I get stuck if I go over there? And I was like, don't worry, we got a skid steer right there.
Nice.
We didn't need to use it, though. He didn't get stuck. It was all good.
That's good, man.
You don't bother washing the truck, I guess. You don't, or do you?
Not as often as I probably should.
It doesn't make any sense because you know that you're going to show up on another site and it's going to get dirty and then...
Well, yeah, that and, you know, I like cleaning it every once in a while, but you know how it goes, man. Work trucks are work trucks.
I know, but thank you. We're doing another show. We're getting up to date now. Another Safety Corner show.
Yeah, and today our Safety Corner show is going to be part two of undocumented workers, safety in that sector, and some of the challenges they're facing, employers are facing, etc. So first of all, I want to say thank you to everybody who sent out messages, DM'd us. You can follow us on Instagram, my_S1. Yep. We post a lot of our DMs, challenges that workers face. Some of the stories we've heard in this last week and a half have just been incredible. Eye-opener to say at least, you know, stories about workers being taken advantage by consultants or immigration consultants and stealing their money and fake promises and...
HR crews or firms, what did you call them?
Temp agencies.
Temp agencies, that's it. Temp
right
agencies.
At the tip of my tongue.
The temp agencies, right?
The temp agencies, but you know, some of the challenges that you know employers are facing. There's an interesting thing happening right now in the dynamic of the workforce, and a lot of workers that are on EI now, the winter slowdown. You know, they'll usually go and get cash jobs and do a couple of things during the winter holidays,
of course,
right?
Yeah.
And what's happening is that now they're competing with the illegal workers. And the illegal workers are obviously undercutting. Well,
so I was going to say, are they competing, but are they winning?
No, they're losing.
They're losing.
They're losing, you know.
Legitimate workers are losing to immigration.
Well, listen, these are workers that are collecting EI.
Yeah.
Right. And they're choosing to do cash jobs on the side, which is understandable. You know, the underground economy or the cash economy of construction, I think at one time was estimated to be $24 billion a year.
In Canada?
I think that was just Ontario.
Ontario.
And this was when I was back at the MOL and part of these initiatives of the underground economy. But yeah, it's there's a lot of cash flowing around.
It got me thinking about. What I love about this show, what you wanted to start with and what you wanted to do with this show was your reaction time is 1,000 times better than our own government reaction time. For example, I don't pay attention too much to the media, but when we did the show about the crane collapse, what did the government do about that?
Well, the government did their part in doing an investigation and making sure the regulations were complied with, right? So that's their part on that. In terms of a response or improvement to regulations, there are new tower crane regulations that are coming, becoming active.
So they're reacting.
Again, they put these regulations or proposed these regulations a few years ago. Right, so it takes a long time for regulations to be developed. You know, there's input from various stakeholders, and then they develop the regulations, and then it goes through the process of becoming law. Right, so that does take a process. But before we jump any further in, I just want to say shout out to my two biggest fans, which are my two little kids that are at home. And in case anybody's wondering why I have a stuffed bunny here, it's because my lovely daughter asked me to bring the bunny today so I can do filming of the show and the bunny can be on TV and... That's always goes,
welcome. There's always plenty of room on the site. You see my little collection, start building a little wall there on that side.
I don't know if I want to build a wall of stuffed animals, but definitely, my kids are my biggest fans and
give them a shout out. Yeah, awesome, man.
All right, so let's jump into it. So since our last episode, and not the one that got released today, but the one that we did on unemployment, there's been some changes and talk and a lot of politicians all of a sudden kind of...
This is an issue now.
Yes.
This has been an issue for how long, though?
This issue has been going on for 100 years.
This is an issue to them now.
I guess so.
Why I was asking about response time.
Yeah, listen, the government or even these associations, think of them as like giant oil tankers in the ocean.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have some of these private firms, including S1, we're kind of like speedboats, right? Mm. We can change direction really quick. We can focus. We can target. Right? And it's a little different for the government or any these big groups. But that's besides the point. So we do have the politicians did come out and there is a whole slew of... It was weird. It was like the day we launched that podcast, like the next day, all kinds of things happened. Well, it is what it is.
Universe.
That's what it is.
It's becoming a problem for them now. But immigration has been a hot topic button for a little while now.
Yeah.
And trying things or whatever, but safety.
And today we're going to kind of review these groups of workers that we have working in the province. And kind of shed some light on the challenges that each one of these groups face.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't want to say different classifications of workers, but there are definitely groups of workers. So let's jump in and see what kind of news came out since this whole thing. First one, Trudeau says he could have acted faster to make immigration changes, blames bad actors. There's that term again, bad actors. Politicians love that term.
What exactly does that mean?
I have no idea. It's bad actors, people that are cheating the system or, I guess, rigging the system, whatever it may be. He backpedaled hard,
Still not taking full responsibility for leadership.
Well, listen, as much as people don't like seeing his face up on this screen, there's one thing I did agree with what he said. And in terms of when it came to immigration and labor shortage, he's right. Everyone was crying labor shortage. Everybody from politicians, the provincial premiers, labor associations, labor groups, business groups, everybody was saying that there was a worker shortage and please, please, please open up the taps.
But there wasn't, though.
Well, either we trained everybody so well that we got unemployment.
The industry, we didn't see a labor shortage. We have a shortage of work opportunities. That's where the shortage is. But the associations and the leadership looks at it differently. But why not listen to the ground?
Listen, there's always a disconnect.
100%.
There's always a disconnect.
So this is all recent news, right? November 20th.
So after that, too, the Ontario government, Ontario cracking down on immigration scams. Province proposing fines and bans for bad actors exploiting newcomers.
So what exactly is an immigration scam?
So I think this comes down to, and again, there's people with PhDs and university degrees that would be able to explain some of this a lot better than me. But an immigration scam is, I promise, I promise, I promise, I promise, as long as you make it here. And then when you make it here, you got to pay me money. And then I have to deliver on those promises. But these immigration consultants may or may not be delivering on those promises. So they take the money and then you're kind of left hanging.
Are we like borderline human trafficking?
Listen, in terms of some of these groups and the illegals, yeah, there's definitely human trafficking happening in Canada. Canada has the largest unprotected border in the world,
yeah.
Right? And there's someone that's getting tried, I think right now in the States, for a family that died trying to cross a river with an infant and the whole family froze to death, which is a horrible story. Like, when you hear people trying to get into Canada and dying, it's
devastating.
Man. So the Ontario government is cracking down. So what they're saying is we are going to try to pass some legislation. And hopefully one day when this legislation passes, we'll start cracking down.
Okay, so Ontario introducing highest fines in Canada for withholding worker passports. I know that you mentioned this on previous shows.
So look at the date on this. March 20th, 2023.
Yeah, it's going on 2 years now.
Yes.
It's come, basically, by the time March comes around, it's going to be 2 years, right? Year and a half. Call it 18 months. It doesn't matter, right?
That being said, this is kind of what the government does. We're going to do this and we're going to do that, right?
But do fines actually, first of all.
I don't know, but I think this is a good one to look at in terms of a year and a half ago or whatever it is. They said that they were going to introduce highest fines and withholding worker passports. My question is, have they introduced those fines? What are those fines? Who is the enforcement agency that is responsible for cracking down on these employers or these individuals that withhold passports? And this is a, for the illegal workers, this happens often. And I've done investigations where employers, fatality or critical investigations with illegal workers where their employer has seized their passports, right? And this is not a one-off. This is a practice. Right? In these situations, the employer or the individual tries to maintain as much leverage as possible over that worker.
See, human. To me, that's not news. Right? What telling part? Me that our government is going to introduce higher fines, that's not news. I want to see news saying worker or employers withholding workers' passports have been fined. That's what I, that's yeah, news
we'd
to
like
me.
To see the present tense, yes. Right? You know, a lot of these times we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Okay, great. We need it right now.
We need it right now. Exactly. No, but it you takes know? Time to get through the paperwork and get through this all processed.
Right. Because
now you have to investigate.
Nobody had the foresight to kind of see where things were headed.
Have you been reached out? Because obviously you've seen it. You've even recently experienced it.
Yeah.
Right. Firsthand.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
And we'll get to that. But the thing is, why isn't the government going to people like you? Where are these illegal employers? Where is this stuff happening?
Listen, I don't think you have to go too far, right? Think of it as a perspective as a homeowner. You know, maybe you hire a landscaping company and, you know, a couple of the workers are illegal.
Yep.
Maybe you get your eavesdrops done or your roof done. How do you know if they're illegal, not illegal? You're paying cash. Right? A majority of homeowners, when they do services, will try to pay cash as much as possible. And how do they know? They don't. It's right in front of you sometimes.
So it looks good on the media, but nothing's really being done. And clear as it's been proven now because we're going on 19, 20 months, whatever it is.
Well, I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know, right? But this is you know, the follow-up question. Okay, we are going to introduce them. What are they? Like, we're going to introduce these fines. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. It's great. I think you should do all of these things that you're saying you're going to do. But where's the data?
It's not there yet because they haven't done anything about it.
Right? And that would come in really handy right now.
I feel our government right now is like, you know, construction, right? What happens in the month of December in construction?
It's slow down.
You get conversations with clients saying, can you get this done by Christmas? And you start laughing at that. And there's definitely a slowdown regarding material. There's a slowdown on work. There's a slowdown on everything. And I definitely feel as if with an election happening next year, there's a slowdown going on right now. So these aren't priorities on our leadership.
Well, I don't know. It depends on what the Ministry of Labor's priorities are, right?
This is a major issue, though. Illegal workers, immigration, this is major.
And I want to make it clear, I'm not against illegal workers.
No.
I've had family members that have come from Portugal and have slept on my couch.
Yeah.
And have been working here illegal on their path to become a permanent resident, which they eventually became.
Yes.
Right? Work permits, etc. But that being said, you know, this is for my situation, you know, I put effort into training this worker and this, my cousin, you know, I put effort into explaining him the laws and I gave him PPE and said, don't you dare do anything, right? But that's not for everybody. Not everybody has that knowledge, I guess, or that willingness, right? Or that safety net. Maybe that's another way to look at it, right? Like it's... I don't know how much longer this issue can be ignored, right?
I think it's going to be ignored all the way until the next election. That's my thought process. I'm playing Kreskin, and I'm going to say this ain't going to get addressed by the leadership.
And the fact of the matter, too, like I was saying, I don't have an issue with illegals. What I have an issue with is the exploitation of humans.
Yes.
What I have an issue is our safety system getting rocked in this sector or in this section, right? Safety is non-existent, to say the least.
It's two things. Either the election, changing the guard. Second, a major catastrophe situation if something happens.
Even and to avoid politics and not to get too far into politics, you look at the conservatives and you look at the federal conservatives. They sound like federal conservatives. Mm-hmm. Right? And some shout outs there to Raquel Dancho. She's really good. Larry Brock. That guy, I don't know if you follow.
No, I follow these politicians, man.
Right? No, Larry Brock is definitely opening up a can of whoop ass on the liberals.
What's his title?
He's an MP, but he's like, I don't know, he's like an investigator or something, his background, and he's the one that's leading the charge on a lot of these corruption inquiries and stuff. And you can follow him on Instagram.
Okay. All right.
But our provincial conservatives, you know, they just don't sound like conservatives. Right? I don't know. I follow politics. I'm really into politics. I'm really into like all of it. And I follow politics all around the world and stuff. But, you know, I don't know. I think there's a new wave coming, especially from the South, in terms of politics and people's opinions of things.
I feel with the provincial conservatives, they just know they're going to win.
Oh, yeah. They're going to win by
a
landslide.
So they don't care.
That could be it. I don't know. I'm not going to even pretend.
You only see things like this where it's like, we're going to start making these changes. We're going to start enforcing fines. When you start getting threats to your occupation, your employment, that's when this stuff starts to come out. That's politics. So I don't want to get into it, but that's basically it, right? So when it comes to the municipal or the provincial level, he knows that he's a shoo-in to win. That's it. And unfortunately, he is, right?
One thing's for sure. There's a lot of construction workers at home. There's
construction. And there's a lot of illegals working in their place. And like you said, I agree with you that I'm not saying anything negative. I think if you're contributing to safety, lack of safety on job sites because you just want to get things done as a worker, as an employee, or you're being forced to because you've got withholding of passports, then it's a trickle.
Yeah,
it's a trickle.
Some of this stuff falls on the shoulders of the employer, or you know, the coyote that comes and picks these guys up at Tim Hortons, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be an employer. It can be just a guy that needs five guys.
Chauffeur. Yeah, I know.
Right? And this isn't just like a male issue. This is a worker issue. The next video that we're going to show, there's males and females.
They're just looking for work. Doesn't matter what it is.
Whatever it is.
And they'll take whatever dollar's being offered.
Whatever.
That's what's sad.
It is. It's sad because you see that in other countries. You know, you've never seen it. I've never seen it here in Canada. And not to this extent.
You're seeing a lot of it now.
Oh, man.
A lot of it.
If all you have to do is get to Tim Hortons at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
And sit there for 4 hours.
And you'll see it right in front of your eyes.
Right in front of you.
What's the video? You're going to show a video?
Oh, sorry. We got some more stuff.
Okay. Well, so, here you go. Here's the provincial.
So...
Oh, you're bringing up all the great photos today.
Wait, hold on. So WSIB to give Ontario employers $2 billion in surplus funds.
For what?
I'm not sure exactly how that's going to be doled out.
To keep their jobs, like the politicians, because that's what our federal government is just doing now with the break on GST.
WSIB is funded by the employers.
Okay.
Right? So... somehow they got a $2 billion in surplus funds.
Technically, I started paying attention to WSIB years ago, and I heard it was over $4
billion. What, in surplus funds? WSIB at one time was completely broke and bankrupt.
At what time was that?
I think it was back in the late 80s or 90s. There used to be called WCB, Workers' Compensation Board.
Now I heard it's over $4 billion as a surplus. So unless they've spent $2 billion somewhere.
I'm sure that money's going to get spent, and hopefully it gets spent well.
Wow. A lot of money, $2 billion. Okay.
Sure. And, you know, they're saying that it's going to go back. So keeping costs down for businesses and investing in workers' occupational and mental health is key to building a stronger Ontario for everyone. All right. So I guess let's see what happens with this. You know, I think they said something like $400 million to the health and safety system in Ontario. Hopefully that's used to hire some inspectors.
You would think.
Well,
I think it's a fact that everyone knows that there's not enough.
Well, I think the inspector right now from the Ministry of Labor is pretty much running on a skeleton crew in terms of the GTA, you know, maybe even Southern Ontario. I'm not sure what's happening out east and stuff like that. But, you know, it's good to see. And especially since I think one of our episodes, we were talking about whether or not WSIB was going to have enough money and funding for this stuff, and EEI is going to have enough money and stuff. I don't know. But I guess there's a surplus.
A lot I of don't people, understand how we have a province that has a surplus. I don't get
it. It's not
that.
The province. Again, it's WSIB.
Okay. All
right. Right? They're a semi-private insurance company.
Is that what it technically speaking?
I don't know. I'm not exactly.
But sure. Yet they're still tied together with the government.
Yeah. And listen, and we can have a whole episode on the benefits of having WSIB versus private insurance and stuff like that too.
Right? I think in all fairness that you should be, as a construction worker, as a business, you should be able to opt to have your own private and not deal with WSIB.
Maybe.
Like, I don't think you should be forcing WSIB on everybody. We're getting to the point where Canada, like, listen, nobody talks about Canada's healthcare system. It's non-existent in my opinion. And I don't care about dental rebates. That's another thing. I don't give a shit. So Hulk Hogan here.
So then the final interesting piece of news, Donald Trump picks ex-wrestler Hulk Hogan for Secretary of Labor.
It's not a bad choice.
Can you imagine going into a negotiation as exactly. a labor group with Hulk Hogan?
That's what I mean.
Like, would he walk in with his own theme song into that meeting? Like, that would be awesome.
I would wish he would come in with that. He would come in with swag and start selling Hulkamania stuff.
I don't know, man. Hulk Hogan as a labor minister, like... It's
more relatable. I'm sorry, it becomes more relatable to the people. It's not about these faceless suits, right? So, I don't know. You know what? And the proof is in the pudding. So, these ultimately. Are just people that the team, the cabinet's being put together.
Yeah.
Until January... And we start seeing it happen.
I don't know. That team that he's putting together is like the Avengers, man. That thing's just crazy.
Yeah, but the Avengers have saved the world a few times. So, you know what?
Fingers crossed, man.
We'll see what happens.
Fingers crossed. All right. So let's kind of get into our class today. So today is part dos of unemployment and worker classes. And today we're reviewing classification of workers or worker classes. Illegal workers, temporary foreign workers. Again, this is from my perspective, these titles, and this is just from my brain. You know, I'm sure there's someone, like I said, with a PhD or university degree that studies this and can explain this further. So please don't shoot me.
Yeah.
But that being said.
That covers quite a bit.
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, we have unionized workers, municipal, provincial, federal employees, and then ultimately politicians who receive a salary.
Of course.
All right. So what are illegal workers? Illegal workers, I guess, are in this country illegally, have little to no documentation, and pretty much are operating in Portuguese, like we like to say, clandestine operations here. Right?
In all fairness, I know a few.
Yeah. No, hey, listen, okay. Even on our S1 system, we have employers that have illegals as workers. You know, on our S1 system, you know, we don't care if you're illegal or not. We just care that you're receiving training, worker awareness training, women's training, you know, the employer is communicating health and safety programs to you and stuff like that. Because obviously if an illegal gets covered or gets hurt, there's no WSIB coverage.
Nope.
Right? So that
the hurt gets covered.
Sorry?
It gets covered.
What, the incident?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They try to cover the incident best as possible.
Don't report it, number one. And number two, drop them off at the hospital and change their boots, put on a pair of running shoes and say you slipped, tripped. And,
exactly.
There's been plenty of those cases. So may or may not have documentation. The chance of exploitation. Exploitation is high.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, child slavery and, you know, slavery in other
countries. That's why I brought up the human trafficking angle.
Yeah. But it's happening right here. You know, so.
And safety rights,
human rights. And safety rights. So, you know, human rights.
Just go in there and do that. Climb up there, do that.
Yeah. I gave this a score of 2 out of 10.
Yeah. Again, I believe it.
2 out of 10, meaning, you know, they can pick up the phone and call 911. They can pick up the phone and, you know, file an anonymous complaint with the Ministry of Labor, I guess. And if they get hurt, they get coverage, or at least we don't turn them away at the hospital.
Yeah, you get the bare minimum coverage. Yeah, I get it.
Right? So their medical coverage is pretty much
over. And you got this from where? Migrantworkersalliance.org?
So during Google searches and just putting this together and stuff, I came across these guys, migrantworkersalliance.org. And it's a group of, I guess, workers association. It's a group that specifically tries to help migrant workers and illegal workers with some of their issues and challenges. Globally? No, here in Canada.
Canada.
Yeah. You're in Canada. I didn't know. There's always groups that are trying to help out other groups, right? You know, some of these issues and...
Do they seem legit?
Yeah. Their website seems legit. And, you know, some of the initiatives that they're working on seems pretty good, right? And they're trying to help people, right? And I think right now is we need more helping going on, right? So...
That's good. That's good to see.
All right. Okay. Let's zoom in on this video. I stretched it out a bit, but everyone's going to get the gist of what it is. You know, from our last episode, people were like, Phil, you're exaggerating. That's not really happening. This is like this and this like that. And people had some doubts. I'm like, okay, well, let's just show everybody what's happening. And this is what's happening. Tim Hortons on Keelan Wilson at 10:30 in the morning.
This is 10:30 in the morning.
10:30. These are the late birds.
Yeah, because you don't imagine.
This is the afternoon shift, yeah. I guess. Yeah, of course.
You got a phone call coming in? There you go. No,
fine. I too.
So 10:30 in the morning. And we got what? How many workers? You got what looks like what? A roofing business?
So this pickup truck had a bunch of ladders on it. Yeah. It was either some type of siding or roofing. But, you know, it could have just been a pickup truck and some guy that wants a hole dug in his backyard. Who knows?
You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
There was eight. There was about 20 people there.
And they were storming the truck.
Storm every single pickup truck that did a slow creep, like a slow drive-by. They would rush that truck.
So either they're trying to sell some speakers or they're trying to get illegal workers.
They're fully trying to get illegal workers. No one was selling speakers. It was basically, watch it again.
And did you were standing there for how long before he showed up?
Honestly, I was at this location for 15 minutes.
And how many trucks showed up?
This is the third truck.
Third truck. And then whoever they didn't take just went right back until they waited for the next truck to come.
That's exactly how it works. Right, but this doesn't have to be a construction company. This can be a landscaping, but this can be a homeowner, for example, right? And they're just like,
That's, you hear about that in the States all the time. You always just park at Home Depot and you just wait, and Everybody's waiting there for, and you, okay, I've got this work to do. I'll pay you $20 an hour, cash, end of the day, I need you for 10 hours.
And it's spread to Canada now.
So in these people that you saw, they were all types of different immigrants, or were they a majority of a certain kind of immigrant?
Well, listen, I'm not going to speculate, but the people that were there, they look like of African descent.
Okay.
Right. But you get a mixed bag.
And majority males, of them probably females. Weren't speaking English.
No.
So it was a lot of hand signals just kind of getting in.
No, just listening to and there was a few different languages being spoken.
Hmm.
Right. And again, males, females, it's.
And that's 10:30.
Yeah.
In a North Toronto area.
Keelan Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Wow. And that's one area.
I think every single Tim Hortons within a radius of at least 20 kilometers from Keelan Wilson has this situation going on.
Were you able to speak to anybody?
No. No. We haven't got that far yet.
I'd just be curious about, but I get it. I've seen this before in America.
Yeah, you see.
I've seen it with the Mexicans all the time, right?
You see these videos and you're like, what the hell kind of shit is going on here, man?
So this is what I mean, is that you're standing there, you're there for 15 minutes, and this is what the government should be doing. They should be standing there.
Listen, I don't know. Should the government be clamping down and doing this and doing that? Maybe.
Well, here's the problem. What if these workers get in there and they're asked to do really unsafe things on a job site and then they lose their life?
100%.
Right. But you're standing there wondering, should I stop this person who's picking up these workers?
So with past cases, you know, like roofing companies picking up illegal workers or even homeless people and putting them on roofs. Right. Yeah. What happens if that person dies? You think they're going to stick around?
No, they're gone.
Everybody's gone.
They scatter.
Right, of course. So right? So, you know, this is definitely putting a strain on our health and safety system because this segment of the workforce, and they're considered workers,
is increasing.
Well, this segment is definitely increasing, right? You got the bottom portion of the labor force increasing. right? So right at the bottom of our labor force, right at the bottom of health and safety is the illegals, that sector, right? And the question is how far does it go up? And that's some of the questions that were posed to us over the last few, this week, right? In terms of, you know, can you find illegals in unionized workplaces? Can you find
illegals? I bet you're there.
Well, let's
keep going. They pay less. Okay.
All right. And then we got temporary foreign workers, all right? So this is a class of worker that comes to Canada seasonally, right?
Yeah.
And mainly on agriculture, farms and stuff like that. They receive checks, they pay deductions, they have WSIB.
Technically speaking, they're legal workers, though.
Yeah, they are not illegal. They're here on
a visa system of some sort. Yeah.
Right. So traditionally more farming. Chance of exploitation. This is a medium. I'll throw this one right at 5. Not as many enforcement officers go to these locations where these workers are working to verify compliance with applicable regulations and even compliance with some of their temporary foreign working programs, right? We're talking about lodging and transportation and, you know, where people are all sleeping and eating. And, you know, some of these, the stories that you hear from here, it's like 15 guys sleeping in a barn and, you know, everyone's forced to share one washroom and the living conditions are horrible. And then they're working for 12 hours or 14 hours, right? So you get into a bit of exploitation here. And this is another website we put at the bottom here, morethanamigrantworker.ca. So this is another group that is kind of focused on temporary foreign workers and helping them through whatever processes they need to go through. And when they suffer an injury, WSIB steps in and, you know, but there have been cases where temporary foreign workers get injured here and then they get sent back to their country and then they get cut off from WSIB. Right. Then they got to try to fight WSIB from their country, et cetera, et cetera. So it can be a losing battle, I guess, for some.
Who's the one that's making the decision to move the person out of country?
I wouldn't be able to answer that.
Is there an argument for Canadians not wanting to do this work?
I don't know. My family came here from Portugal.
I'm talking about today. Is there an argument that a lot of Canadians that are of the same age, same opportunity, whatever, don't want to do this work?
I think that, you know, we have a broad range of jobs in our economy. And I think the jobs that are further to the bottom, Canadians don't
want to do. That's what I mean. That's where the argument is, I think.
Right? It's like, I have other options. Maybe that's what it is. It comes down to options. And these workers, their only option is stay in their country and face whatever challenges they're facing there, or have a possibility of making more money over a specific amount of time, a 6-month time or a 4-month time, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Right? So this is the option that's viable for them. Is this great? Yes, it's great for these workers because they get to come to Canada. They get to, you know, partake and participate and, you know, earn money that they probably wouldn't be earning back at home. 6 months salary for these temporary foreign workers in Canada, maybe 2 years salary, right? So, you know, as a father with kids, if I had to do this job, I would happily do it, right? But, you know, it comes down to motivation too, and it comes down to options. That's what it really comes down to. If you have less options, you might find more Canadians on a farm.
Yeah, it's true.
Right?
Not to speak.
So, you know, human rights and safety, it's about a 5. You know, some cases it may be, and again, this is just general, right? But there may be some farms that have done or been part of this program for a very long time, and they have a really great system of bringing in these workers, training these workers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, they're operating at an 8 or a 9 and stuff like that, right? But I guarantee you that there's some of these more shady farms or agriculture or maybe even large industrial situations where, you know, you're just another number, and the fact that you're not even Canadian, you know, people might look at it differently. I don't know. Medical. So these guys are covered by WSIB and OHIP.
Okay.
All right. All right. I don't even know how to classify this group, but we're going to call them the white and blue collar workers, non-union.
Okay.
All right. So that's the entire group of, you know, regular guys. regular people, regular workers. You're working in factories, you're working in retail, you're working in construction, you're working in offices. You're not a unionized, you're not part of a union, so you're non-unionized, and your employer might be non-unionized, etc. And, you know, some may be covered by WSAB if it's mandated coverage. Some may be just OHIP, and that's pretty much it. Some companies may have benefit plans. Who knows? But, you know, in the aspect of construction, we're looking at, you know, the non-unionized plumbing company, the non-unionized electrical company. And these are smaller companies, small, you know, 10 workers, 15 workers, 20 workers. I feel like when you start getting too big, you become unionized. Something like that.
Or you're forced to become unionized.
Something like that. Right? So this is the non-union group. Right?
So there's more factories, more warehousing, more... Well,
there's an entire group of in construction, for example, that's non-unionized.
Yeah.
Right? And the argument is a unionized construction project safer than a non-unionized construction project?
I wouldn't say that.
Well, they say that. They say that.
I wouldn't say that.
In my experience, unionized projects are
safer than non-union?
Let's put it in terms of classifying it as safer, let's classify it as compliance with the regulations.
But that doesn't necessarily mean safer.
Well, I would say that it does.
Yeah?
Yeah, because the more you comply with the law, let's take it to driving, because driving is always the ultimate metaphor. You know, if you don't know the laws and you're not following the laws, are you a better driver or a safer driver than someone that follows the laws? And
but what makes a safer driver? Experience or abiding by the laws?
Well, I think it's a bit of both, right? But again, unions, you know, one of the selling features for unions is, and they use it, is that unionized projects are safer. Now, do fatalities happen on unionized projects? Yes. Do critical injuries happen on unionized projects? Yes. Is this data being gathered and, you know, dissected and really to analyze whether or not what the unions or what these associations are saying? I don't know.
I would also say, and I mean, I would love to find out, but I also would say, if you want to say that unionized workers are safer, I think that there's a lot more abuse of vices in unionized workers.
That could be possible. I know we might have to do a whole episode on fit for duty and drugs and alcohol, but...
But then we get into the argument that we've already brought up, or what is your definition of fit for duty?
I will jump
Someone could be intoxicated.
We'll jump into it, Manny.
That is it part of this one?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's not, and that one's a tangled web.
Yeah.
To kind of figure that one out. But
you wouldn't have the data. That's the thing about it. It's not going to be out there.
No, you got to dig into some of these things. But, you know, you start looking at fit for duty or something like that, and you start looking at drugs and alcohol consumption and gambling and all kinds of other things. But anyways, keep this in mind. We can have... companies on non-unionized projects. So I'm a unionized company, but the builder or the constructor is non-unionized, right? Ultimately, the argument is always a unionized company is safer because it's an organized group. If there's an issue with one, there's an issue with all of us type deal, right? How did that line go from Planet of the Apes? Apes are stronger together. They have the stick and they break the stick.
Oh, apes are stronger together
right?
versus it's, man.
Something like that.
Yeah, okay.
But again, we have this portion of non-union white and blue collar workers across the board, right? Now keep this in mind. With the pandemic and everything that happened, our workers also got classified, and this classification previously existed, but it got expanded, I guess, during COVID, where you had essential and non-essential workers.
Yep.
Right?
Construction was essential.
Apparently.
Road work was essential.
A lot of things were deemed to be essential, and I'll say at least 70 to 80% of the workforce was deemed to be essential.
Okay.
Right? You can base that almost on traffic. During the pandemic, no, he didn't realize in the morning.
No, I know.
It was 20% less cars on the road.
For the first time in history, I get it.
But, you know, the classification of essential, you always think, you know, it's emergency personnel, people that are workers that are required to maintain our infrastructure, hydro, gas, stuff like this, right? But during the pandemic, it also became included, like, stability to our economy. So restaurants and big box stores, but not the small stores. And there was a lot of...
Maybe it's ironic.
Because, I don't know, man.
Because of what they did, it actually destroyed the economy afterwards.
Oh, there's definitely a lot of people that are going to be studying the last 5 years of the Canadian economy.
Yeah.
And the things that triggered and what had happened to cause declines in some of our sectors, including the housing sector.
Yep.
Right? But raising interest rates is definitely a kick in the nuts to the housing sector, to say the least. Right? So you had these groups, essentials and non-essentials. And then, you know, people were like kind of, you know, people were working from home. This is where the whole working from home really got hammered in, right? And then you had the groups of the essentials that were like, yo, I'm at work and you're at home.
And, not fair.
You know, it's...
I want to be home.
Yeah, a lot of people wanted to be home.
Well, we don't have virtual construction yet.
No, I hope we never do.
It'll never happen.
Never say never, man.
That's a different story, right?
All right.
So 70, all right, now Ontario.
So one of the biggest issues this non-unionized group and everybody below it, one of their biggest challenges is unpaid wages. Okay, wage theft. They're non-unionized. No one's going to stand beside them. No one's going to fight. No one's, you know.
I don't have to pay you. What are you going to do?
Well,
you're an illegal.
That's a whole different story. I don't know. But in the case of non-unionized workers that are not illegal, that are legal to work in this province, in this country, here we go. This one's from July 2023. Ontario employers failed to pay out $9 million in owed wages in 2021. So for those that don't know, the Ministry of Labor has a branch called ESA, the Employment Standards Act.
Okay.
And you have employment standards officers that deal with specifically unpaid wages, unpaid vacation time, stuff like that. You didn't get your overtime, whatever it may be. So they're kind of the check and balance to this component when your employer says, you know what, I'm just not going to pay you. What are you going to do about it? Unfortunately, and I don't want to quote this and it's going to be wrong, but I'll say it's a 50-50 on whether or not the government is able to collect your money. That actually might be too high. In terms of your employer doesn't pay you, you go to the Ministry of Labor, they launch an investigation, they order the employer to pay if that's the case. It goes through a whole process, and then some employers just don't even do it. Right? $9 million is a lot of money to be owed to workers.
Or employers will actually just fold up shop, and then what do you do?
That's an option too.
Right?
That's an option too, right? And then who's responsible for collecting this money and how is the money being collected? And is it the municipalities? If so, do they send it to collection agencies? Like, there's a lot of questions that come up with why wasn't the government able to collect this $9 million?
So that was 2021 data. And we
know 2023. So this data was probably from 2022 or 2021. Yeah, bad. I was reading the fine print.
So 2021 data, and we know that for the last 3 years, this problem has only gotten worse. So I can only assume 9 million has increased.
Maybe they collected some. Maybe they collected half of that by now. I don't know.
Interesting.
The government would have to release data on that. But $9 million, you know, my employer owes me 10, they owe that guy 5, they owe this other worker 7 and this and that. And all of a sudden, you know, you're down 10K and you don't have a job. And you know what I mean? You're fighting and you're battling and you're waiting and you're dealing, right? It becomes such an ordeal, I guess, to say the least, right? All right. So white blue collar workers unionized. So again, regular workers doing their 9-to-5 or whatever schedule you're on, legal to work in Canada, factories, retail, construction, human rights and safety factor. You're probably looking at 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So this comes down to the point of unionized companies being safer, construction projects that are unionized being safer because they have the collective bargaining system. They have the ability to strike. They have the ability to disrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that disruption is, I guess, the key to a union. Obviously, right now we're going through the Canada Post strike.
Yep.
Right. And, you know, we had a few strikes at different ports.
Yeah.
But the government stepped in on those and ordered everybody to go back to work.
So what's the point of a union?
Well, again,
what's the point of bargaining a contract?
I don't think it's what's the point of a union. I think it's are unions in fact effective in areas or sectors that have a direct relation to GDP, right? So if they shut the ports and that went on for a month, what was the calculation? They were losing $7 million a day or something like that.
But if you've got workers that deserve to be paid more and they have a right to strike and they're doing it legally, then why are they being forced to go back to work by the government? But they never got the increase in pay. They never got the increase in benefits.
The government in the last few years is able to force a lot of people to do a lot of things they didn't want to do.
Yeah.
Right? And
so that's why I just asked about what's the point of the union then? Because they're supposed to be watching out the back of the worker.
With the government stepping in and forcing these workers back to work, they definitely decapitated the union and their ability to strike.
Yeah.
Right? But again, I think the government is only stepping in on sectors that have a direct relation to GDP. And again, as a citizen, do you want your port shut down?
No, because it's going to affect everything.
Of course.
But as a citizen, do I want my workers to be compensated fairly and given benefits fairly, especially if they're legal workers? Yes.
100%. And I think in 2025, we're going to see a lot more strikes just based on the current economic situation and people needing more money.
Yeah, they'll right? have to.
So, but
you can't have the government continuously step in and just void that strike.
No.
So that's going to be interesting. This collective bargaining, okay, Ontario.
So this is kind of where the line is now, right? In terms of safety and things getting safer on job sites, or safety in general. Below this line is where you have more issues. The farther you go below this line is this is when you get into the illegals and the temporary work permits, et cetera, and the non-unionized companies, right? So unionized companies, if we're going with the fact that they are safer because they're in groups and have collective bargaining and, you know, stand up for rights and have no problems making their voices heard and disrupting an entire construction project if needed, you know, this is where the line kind of gets drawn. Anything above this now is in terms of safety is a lot better than the bottom of this totem pole type deal. Okay. Right. But the questions that we got asked over the last week and in terms of directly dealing with illegals and where can you find them and job sites that are unionized and stuff like that. And some of these questions were posed to us. So to answer the first question, can you find illegal workers on unionized construction projects?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. You can. I don't know how rampant.
Does that not go against union rules?
I don't know. I can't speak for the union, but what I can say, or any union, but what I can say is that I've been on projects where I know that there are illegal workers. These are unionized projects. And, you know, during an investigation or something, it shows that this worker isn't, in fact, is illegal and doesn't have documentation, but is also unionized. So I'm not exactly sure how that plays out, or I'm not exactly sure. One of the possible causes is SIN theft or SIN, like stealing
your social insurance number.
Exactly. So even back in the 80s and the 90s, even the old port shops and, you know, the old Portuguese guys, they would rent out their SIN numbers, right? To some of the illegals, they would rent them out. A SIN number on the street right now is going for about $5,000. Right? Think about this. You're a drug dealer. I'm not saying there's a lot of drug dealers, but just put this in perspective. You're a drug dealer. You make about $150,000 a year cash.
As a drug dealer?
Let's just say. I'm just throwing some numbers, a type of job that's illegal, and you want to show that you're making money. You'll rent out your SIN number.
To a legitimate worker.
To an illegal worker.
Illegal worker.
Yeah, they're the ones that need fake SINs.
So now they'll go to a job placement, use your SIN number.
And it looks like that you are generating income. That person
is making this money and not the 150 from drugs. That's what's going on?
SIN theft is real.
Wow.
Renting of SIN numbers is a real thing. You know, falsifying documentation to get into a union is a real thing. I don't know what the extent of it is. You know, and I'm sure there's some unions out there that know that the worker is illegal and just don't ask too many questions. You know, some of these unions, you know, it goes based on numbers and members and, you know, and dues and, right? So Can they be in unionized projects? Yes. Can you find, you know, illegals working at City Hall, for example? It's quite possible.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, and if maybe. They're not working at City Hall, they're working at ministers' homes. You ever walk in through some neighborhoods in Toronto and you see a certain culture pushing children's strollers?
Yeah.
And they don't look like the kids. And the kids don't look like them.
So the nannies and stuff like that.
That's where I'm going. Yeah,
there are definitely nannies that are doing like...
illegals.
Yeah.
I know.
Easily.
Being raising white kids, for lack of a better term.
Listen, helping out, whatever it may be, right? But yeah, I'm sure illegal workers have infiltrated, or not infiltrated, but kind of like spread out to a lot of different sectors and industries. Easily. Manny, put this on pause, man. I got to go to the washroom.
Okay, go to the washroom. Pause it. Yeah. Oh, hang on a sec.
Everyone? We're good.
Recording?
Yeah.
Shoot. Okay. All right. So we're moving on to?
So we have municipal, provincial, and federal employees. They're public servants. Anyone legal to work in Canada. Additional. So they have a couple of different pros. They have additional vacation days and holidays, more likely to work from home currently. So maybe that should be another episode.
They're unionized?
A majority of municipal, provincial, and federal employees, yes.
Makes sense.
Right. You know, they have the collective agreements, medical coverage, WSAB, OHIP, benefits. Plus
private benefits.
Right. Yeah, benefits, man. Those come in handy. And human rights and safety, this is easily a 9 out of 10. Easily. The issues that they're fighting for, you know, they always say it's safety and money. It always goes hand in hand. But one thing's for sure, this group of workers does not face the same challenges as the people on the bottom of the list.
Nope.
Or even the bottom three on the list.
Nope.
All right. So public servants are governed by the Public Service of Ontario Act. They're also governed by rules of conduct for public servants and conflict of interest rules for public servants.
Why do we need a Public Servants Act? Why can't they just abide by the same rules that we're being forced to?
I don't know.
Seems like waste of taxpayer dollars.
Well, look, think of this on the federal level. The federal level has their own labor, Ministerial of Labor type deal, right? The provinces have their own, right? So the federal enforcement agency deals with a lot of these issues. But again, the challenges that this group of workers face, you know, like people wish they had these guys' problems, right? Yeah, like... I don't know. I don't.
That seems like a very cushy job right there. I don't see a lot of work going on. I don't see 40 hours a week. I don't know, man.
You know, changing things.
I see people coasting along on their job and being paid a lot of money doing a lot of little.
Yeah. Listen, you want to see ROI as your investment as a taxpayer. You want to see quality services.
Entrepreneurship, small business owner.
Yeah.
If we were to run things the way they run things, we wouldn't have successful business. Our business would be done.
Listen, maybe Canada needs like the Department of Doge or whatever it's being called down in the States, right?
We do.
Where they come in and clean up and kind of figure out what we need and don't need and how we're spending money.
Canadian wrestlers that can start changing the cabinet, right? So we can bring in Canadian wrestlers into the cabinet, right? And start getting them to be ministers of certain things.
I don't know, man. But you know what I do know is that these are first world problems over here.
Oh, I know.
Right? Like, come on.
CRA employees, which like, it's just, I'm dumbfounded.
They just fired 300 of them for stealing money from taxpayers. Claiming stuff under COVID. Like, I don't know.
Really?
Man. Yeah. It's crazy.
I'm telling you, abuse is rampant. That's it. Simple as that.
Oh, yeah.
Listen. It's rampant in there. And it's not getting any better. Okay. All right.
All right. So, again, this is all top-level stuff. This is just stuff that I've pieced together just to kind of explain some of these working groups or worker groups to, you know, people that may not fully see the whole picture in terms of workforce here in Ontario, right? And then the last and my favorite group of workers are politicians. Why that face, man?
It's a contradiction. I'm sorry. Politicians and the word workers. They don't do any work.
Well, hey, listen, some of them say they do. I know.
I can say that I built the CN Tower. It doesn't mean that I did.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I just found the typo.
I can say I see it. Schmake. Yeah. So I can see. So it's just, okay, so Paul, this is an interesting one. All right, run us through that one then.
They're classified as workers because obviously they get receive a salary.
Okay.
Right?
They have unlimited vacation days.
I don't know.
We get statutory. How many? We have 10 now?
Who's tracking? Who's going to tell them that they can't take a vacation day? I don't know.
Wow.
You see some of these presidents of countries and they're on the beach half the time.
Zero accountability.
Right? Where's the accountability for politicians when they make mistakes? If these were directly employees of mine, for example, and, you know, there had to be accountability for actions or inactions. Little to no transparency. Listen, are they really transparent with things or are they just showing us what they think we want us to see? Act like the rules don't apply to them. And yes, hating a bit on politicians.
That's true.
Right? Because honestly, you guys could do better. And they only show up for their performance review every 4 years.
Yeah, that's called an election.
Yeah. All right. So up until then, who is reviewing what they're doing, how they're doing it, if it's effective? You know, I think citizens just listening to our federal government and all the garbage that's been happening and this scandal and that scandal and this politician, and we're talking about, you know, theft of money and corruption and conflicts of interest to the point we're even talking about treason with some of our federal politicians. Like, what this is Canada, man. What the hell is going on over here? It's not a banana republic. And why is it that these
politicians are making more money than their salary?
That's a good question.
It's public record, right? So we know their salaries. We know every single person's salary, but yet what their net worth is dramatically higher.
I don't know. It seems like recently politicians get into office with X amount of dollars and they leave with a lot more money than their salary, their value, or their net worth. How does that happen? Yeah, I have some guesses, right? If you follow Nancy Pelosi's stock tracker on Instagram.
Pure corruption, that's all it is.
Right? Like, you know, it gets to a point where you're looking at this specific work group and like, whoa, are you guys even working? Where's your expense account? Like, why did you spend $40,000 on hotels and lobster lunches? Right? There's people starving.
It's coming up on December and the Liberal government recently just announced that they're going to take the GST off for the month of December. And I hope that the majority of Canadians understand that that's just BS and they're just trying to buy votes for the next election. Well,
the same people can say the same. And I saw Pierre Poilievre on Instagram or doing something and that's what he was saying about the Trudeau government. You know, this is just a way to buy votes and blah, blah, blah. But what's the Ford government doing in Ontario giving everybody $200? Oh, they're doing
the exact same thing.
Isn't that the exact same thing?
That's what I'm saying. The ones that are just, it's brutal.
I don't know. Well, the bottom line
is that there needs to be more of a crackdown on safety regarding the illegal workers. Because I think you're going to get a rash of them being in certain incidences on sites.
Listen.
And then what? They're going to wake up then?
We got the bottom group fighting it out right now.
Yeah.
All right? They're fighting it out for position.
Yeah.
Employers are making money by having a cheap labor force. So employers are taking advantage.
I can't argue the profitability on that.
No.
That's the thing about it. You got illegal workers coming in at half the rate of what a legal worker would come in at, which basically means I get the contract. And instead of making a profit margin of 25 points, I'm making a profit margin of 50 points.
Yeah, and it makes it more attractive for employers.
Yeah, of course.
Right? Like my competitor has, 50% of their workforce illegal. Maybe I should do the same thing. Otherwise, how am I going to compete?
It's kind of like hiring prison inmates.
They don't count as workers. Remember our last class, Manny?
But it kind of back in the old days how some prison.
Oh yeah, they pimp out their inmates. Yeah,
yeah. They can't compete with regular legal workers.
No, not for that price, right? And so you're getting these pressures being applied to the workforce. You know, again, this is still pretty much contained to the bottom, right? But 2025, a lot of contracts are going to be coming up. A lot of people are going to be wanting more money. Inflation looks like it's going higher. you know, like we're going to get to a point where people are demanding to be compensated, but these employers have a secondary option.
But there's got to be a large portion of these illegal immigrants that actually want to stay here and do what a lot of the other previous immigrants that came to this country decades ago. They want to actually
build a life.
Yeah.
It's getting, I'll say, extremely difficult for Canadians to build a life, let alone being an immigrant. Again, you know, there's reports, you know, immigrants or refugees or whatever it was making $80,000 a year from government handouts.
No, that's a fact. That's right? A fact. Right?
Subsidies. Yeah. Maybe handouts is not the best word, but subsidies and stuff like that. The
benefits that they're getting for being in but that's buying votes again. With taxpayers' dollars. That's what that's doing. Simple as that.
I know.
But you got to, you know what? You're having a mass exodus.
There's a humanitarian component to that.
There is, 100%.
Right? You know, people are definitely fleeing
war. We have a problem next year. You know what? Next year is going to get worse. If Trump does what he says he's going to do,
then more people,
they're not going to go south. They're going to go north.
Well, Canada and the United States have the largest unprotected border
in
the
world. That's why they'll come up here.
Right? Are we going to hear of more people at illegal crossings or dying, trying to make the trek through the wilderness to try to get to Canada?
They'll take on jobs that are going to be unsafe. They're going to take on going to unsafe sites because they're going to roll the dice.
Of course. And employers are going to roll the dice, so more people are taking more risks, which in turn lowers safety.
Nobody ever talks about, all they care about regarding Emirates and Dubai and all the insane construction projects that have been going on there in the last two decades, but nobody ever talks about all the Pakistani, all the Indian immigrants that come there, work illegally, die illegally on the site. Nobody ever talks about that.
I think some of these reports may be skewed. I think some of them may be accurate, you know, like Qatar, the World Cup, they said roughly 8,000 workers died building those stadiums. That comes out to 80 deaths per soccer game. Right? You know,
you've seen it. You've seen the safety.
Not in that country.
The lack of safety in those
countries. I've talked to people that come from these countries. I've talked to people that have worked in these countries. I've talked to people that have been supervisors and project managers. You know, some of the horror stories that they say, you know, a guy dies, they throw him in a box, throw in $500 and ship him right back home. Right?
And you've said it before. They get dropped at the hospital, change the shoes, and done. And guess what? They're not documented as a worker who died on a site.
I don't think illegals are that big of an issue in that country, for example. You know, I think this is more organized temporary worker programs where they vet workers, you know, they check for health records, they might do their own health screenings, you know. It's just, I think the value of life that they put on these workers is very low.
Yep, I agree.
That may be a component of it.
But nobody ever talks about that because they only look at the facade of the construction.
Yeah, but they're in countries that, you know, that information they don't want it to get out or it's contained or whatever it may be. You know, we don't have to look that far to the other side of the world.
No, it's here. It's right here. Right?
We don't have to look that far.
But I'm just saying there's going to be a mass rush. This is going to get worse next year. It will.
I hope not.
They're going to leave America and they're going to come to Canada because, unfortunately, the leadership that we have right now in Canada is still going to be going on when January changes in America.
Well, they're talking about reducing the number of legal immigrants coming in.
But we still have the ones that we do have here.
Yeah, I think at one point in peak, it was estimated that illegal workers, there was about 100,000 illegal construction workers in construction.
In Ontario?
In Ontario.
That's a lot.
Yeah. That's definitely
a lot. And I think that's going to increase.
And keep in mind, when you're an illegal worker, your options are very limited, right? So it's either you're going to go work in construction, which is manual labor, and everybody is, well, I won't say used to manual labor, but that's always the default selection. If you're not good at anything else or you have no other options, grab this shovel and dig a hole, right? But, you know, this isn't limited to just men. You know, you have illegal female workers.
Other jobs out there that they're forcing them to do as well.
Well, listen, the sex trade, don't kid yourself.
Yeah. No, I wasn't going there. I'm sure like sweatshops.
Oh, fabrication, yeah. Factories.
Sure. Exactly.
I went to a Chinese restaurant in Markham a couple of weeks ago with a friend. And, you know, we're sitting there. And, you know, the different waiters are walking by and people are walking by that work there. And, you know, you're looking at their name tags and it's like Nancy, Steve, Jim. I'm like, that guy's name is not Jim. And you start looking at it, and nobody speaks English, and it's the restaurant industry, and, you know, I kind of have a really good understanding of how that sector works. And, you know, you get that feeling like these people don't have any training. They might not even be legal. And you know, you start asking them questions. And me, sometimes I'll ask safety questions in the middle of a restaurant to a waiter and stuff, just be out of curiosity, you know. Have you had any training on
There's
this?
There's no safety there.
No. These restaurants, some of
Look
these.
Look at Walmart, the oven.
That one, the police came out and said that they stopped their criminal investigation. They didn't suspect any criminal play.
So it's an accident?
So the Ministry of Labor from, it was in Nova Scotia?
It was out east.
Yeah, Halifax. The Ministry of Labor from their side is still conducting the investigation. But I don't know what's coming out of that. Because that one.
But that was an illegal, well, not illegal, that was an immigrant.
I don't know.
That somehow got stuck in the oven, a walk-in oven.
I don't know. That and the mother is the one that found her and stuff. I don't know what happened.
But, I mean, you get into the restaurant industry and you're dealing with cooking areas, hot oils, flames.
The restaurant industry has plenty of hazards, you know. Are they life-threatening? Some of them can be.
Physically disability-wise, and then you're on going to be on a system in Canada taken care of now for the rest of your days
until you get shipped out. You could get disabled in the restaurant, but again, dying in a restaurant versus dying on a construction project is not
the same. No, it's different. It's different, but the hazards are there.
Yeah, but again,
that's where I think more women are going towards those kinds of jobs.
One thing's for sure. Well, you have a growing number of illegal female workers on construction projects. That's for sure.
Hmm.
Right? I was even seeing
boots on the ground.
Yeah. Hmm. So this is one thing I noticed, you know, on these low rise sites, you'll see some of these crews and, you know, the entire crew is illegal, you know, and they'll have one guy that has the company and that company is being paid. And then that guy is paying cash to everybody else, or maybe he has two people on check and the rest are on cash, et cetera, et cetera. And keep in mind, too, this is a benefit for some employers that want to launder money and wash their money. Right. And this isn't just isolated also to the bottom. You know, you can look at, like, the Ministry of Labor has a program called the SOCI program, which is a program for safe employers. And if you manage to get that accreditation, WSIB gives you money back. Yeah, they give you 15% back in the first year, 10% in the second year, and 5% in the third year.
So you could technically use illegal workers to increase?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is that there's a SOCI program that, you know, gives a certificate or a gold star type deal to, you're the safest employer because you have this accredited system, you've jumped through these hoops and this and that. But I personally know of at least four companies that are SOCI that have branches of fully legal workers. Right? And how do they do it? They have their corporation and they have multiple little corporations, but if they want to kind of find an avenue to assists other workers, maybe that's not.
See, here's the issue, Phil, that I have is that.
Wait, hold on. Sorry, man. Yeah. So what they'll do is my one supervisor is really good. He's going to open up a company. I'm going to make him a subcontractor. He's going to give me an invoice and he's going to pay his workers in cash.
Yeah, I get it.
Right? That's kind of the structure
how it works. It's illegal.
Yeah. But, you know, there's companies that are recognized by the Ministry of Labor as being the safest companies. And they have branches of illegal workers.
That's what I mean. They're being awarded.
But
so this is what I was going to say, is that the machine is too big and people are making too much. The wrong people are making too much money that you can't change this.
The sad part about our industry is that everybody's making money off 1 hour that a worker works.
Yeah.
Everyone is taking a cut.
Nobody's making 100% of what they make.
No. Hey, maybe the illegals, because, you know, they're not getting taxed.
A lot of people were surprised by that pimp comment that you made, eh?
Why?
The pimp.
There's pimps. Pimp. Prostitution is the oldest profession on the planet. You figure.
But a lot of people were surprised by that. They didn't realize that that's how the industry is. It is.
There is definitely a nature of human trafficking and a bit of human exploitation. And this is why, even when we're going through it, we're talking about human rights too, right?
Yeah.
You know, seizing passports and, man, it's ugly. It's getting uglier.
That's what I mean. The machine is so big.
Yeah. And again, based on some of the DMs that we received on Instagram and stuff and people telling us their horror stories.
It's not going to end.
Dude, reading some of these stories, you're like, what the, like.
And as an employer, if you don't have a conscience, do I really care?
No, I've come across those employers. I'm making a
shitload of money.
Oh, yeah. No, I've come across those employers that will happily kick someone right into a trench and say, shut up.
And there's another person waiting for Tim Hortons to pick up. So I can get them to work now.
Line up.
So I do not care. You're no different than I know.
You know, it's just sad to see, man. It's sad to see in a first world country. It's sad to see in a health and safety system that invests so much. And there's a lot of good, well-intentioned people in our health and safety system. I know it sounds like sometimes I take some pot shots here and there. The reality is, though, we just have a really big system, and our system needs to be more nimble when it comes to dealing with sector-specific issues, right? The government doesn't reach to these levels.
I think our system is so broke that it should be fully broken and rebuilt again by people that are not abusing the system.
It might be time for a renovation, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
A whole renovation on the system. And I feel like that's what's going to happen in the United States.
Oh, I see it coming in the United States. That's my concern, is that we don't have the balls in Canada right now. Follow suit.
I think it just takes people to keep speaking up and shining a light on this. And you're right. It does take someone with balls, man, to call things out and kind of.
But you'll get threatened if you start shining a light. Path.
No, even with our episodes here, man, people like Phil, that doesn't sound professional. Philip, that, here's some constructive criticism and, Phil, this, that. And I'll tell you this, our flavor of safety isn't for everyone. Our flavor of safety does not sound like everybody else you see on LinkedIn, right? And there's a reason for that.
Yeah, but you're highlighting what's really going on in Canada.
There's a lot of things going on in Canada, man. It's just, what are we prioritizing? Right? Like these safety individuals or safety workers up at these upper levels. Right, that we're talking about. What's their first world problems here? Ergonomics. This chair is not comfortable enough for my worker. Or, I need a more ergonomic desk. Or, the Ministry of Labor now is trying to pass chin straps for your hard hats. Yeah, that's coming. That's the biggest issue over there now. Right? How can you take some of these things seriously when you walk outside your house and see 10 people jumping into a pickup truck?
Why aren't they doing anything about that?
I don't know if they can.
But they can do something about chin straps on a hard hat.
I don't know if they can either. They can just pass laws. If there's nobody to enforce them, who cares?
What are we going to talk about in the next episode?
I have no idea. What, Manny, do you want to tackle? I think we should go light the next episode. Can we just do you do in school? The teacher doesn't feel like doing anything, so they just show a bunch of videos to the class for the whole day.
We could do that. We could show a bunch of violations and all kinds of stuff, and we could talk. We could probably do the next time is maybe we can actually just go through a bunch of fines and numbers. Or see video and go, that's the fine. Here's the cost associated with that video.
Yeah, no, there was a critical industry, a critical injury charge that went through. It was $200,000 for a critical injury. That's the highest I've ever seen.
Recently went through?
Yeah.
Recently. 200 grand.
For a critical.
What if the business just folds up shop? They don't have to pay.
Maybe they can't.
Wow.
Right?
200 grand.
Yeah. But hey, I've seen fatalities go for less in court. I just had a case that got dropped this week, actually. It was three tickets to my client, which was an employer. Their sub failed to put up guardrails, so they got charged with these tickets. And it turns out that all the charges got dropped by the Crown Prosecutor because the Ministry of Labor Inspector was no longer with the Ministry of Labor.
How does that happen?
How can the case proceed forward if the inspector isn't there to testify or provide notes or provide information?
The notes and the information is handed off to the next inspector. And then they're reviewed, and then they start an investigation, continue the investigation.
I don't know.
Well, that's the grounds to get, and it was dropped. The cop
doesn't show up to your speeding ticket.
No, I get it. Trust me. I've taken advantage of that situation several times.
Right. And maybe, you know, I know for a fact there's some former MOL inspectors that'd love to come on the show and kind of talk about the inner workings of the Ministry of Labor and how some of these things come have on happened.
I don't want to get in trouble with the Ministry of Labor, but then again, I'm not on a job site anymore.
No. Hey, listen, it's not about getting in trouble. Only guilty people have a reason to be afraid of enforcement, right? But, you know, talking about some of these things and it needs to be discussed, you know, especially if the main component of our system isn't fully doing what that component is supposed to be doing, which is enforcement. And good enforcement, you know, you can
there's a disconnect between the people demanding the rules or change with those people never being on job sites, seeing what's going on.
Listen, I posted something the other day. They did a OPP and the Ministry of Transportation did a whole blitz on Highway 50 and they were stopping trucks and going through it. They lit something like 72 charges, took 17 vehicles off the road. And my caption was, nobody likes enforcement, but everybody likes enforcement, right? Like if we didn't have enforcement for health and safety, this country would be a third world country in terms of health and safety.
Yeah, but I want that enforcement also shared to the politicians.
Those guys, I haven't seen a politician get arrested yet here in Canada.
Arrested, charged, convicted.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen anymore.
I don't know. That whole treason thing at the federal level, like the RCMP fully came out and said, yeah, we have evidence these guys in treason.
I know, we get it. We get it.
Like, if you're not getting arrested for treason, then...
Yeah, but then you're going after people that are hardworking and doing their deal and they're trying to do... Sometimes, you know what? You have a blitz and you got trucks, but as a business owner, you can't afford to maintain it the way you used to maintain it. So you have to let certain things slide. It doesn't go with what's the blitz all about.
Sure.
So you get caught at that point.
Yeah.
But you're a business owner trying to survive.
Sure.
But it costs more to operate those vehicles.
The other argument is that, you know, there's employers that are able to do it. Why can't you? Yeah. Right. I've been in that situation where, you know, the employer, the constructor is like, oh, but I got concrete coming and I've paid and I've did. Hey, man, your site's shut down. I don't care if you got concrete from here to Mississauga. It's not getting poured.
Yeah, but I think Canadians in general that are legitimate, that want to build something in Canada, would actually take care of all the safety, maintenance, vehicle, site conditions a lot better if we were making more money from our $100.
You'd like to think so.
I would, yeah.
You know, that's
I totally believe that.
That's definitely.
We're being taken advantage of. We see the corruption in our politicians, and we see how you just said nobody gets away. Everyone gets away with everything. They don't get fined. They don't get charged. They don't get convicted.
I've
Why as Canadian citizens, why should we abide by the rules if they're not abiding by the rules?
I guess it comes down to your moral compass too, right? I don't know. Like I couldn't sleep at night if I knew I was exploiting humans. Like that wouldn't sit well with me as a human being.
No, it wouldn't sit well with me. And that's why you're not a politician. I'm not a politician. Because if you flash the money, I think you'd question whether or not you want to take that money. These people flash the money, take it, snort it, suck it, eat it, love it.
I don't know, man.
And they don't care about the people.
All I know is that I have to dodge 30 illegals that are trying to get inside a pickup truck or any pickup truck that comes to Tim Hortons
on a daily basis
to get my coffee.
When
you see that and you see or hear the stories that we're listening to and posting on our Instagram for people to read, and again, you take it with a grain of salt because it's hearsay. It could be someone that just, you know, wants to say things and just, you know. So you take it with a grain of salt, but a lot of it jives. A lot of it makes sense. And I'm sure if they did a deeper dive into some of these issues, you know, there'd be a lot of people with their hand in the cookie jar.
Take the effort that they're putting on chin straps for hard hats and start putting it into real problems. Real problems.
I don't, it's, you know, this is almost like job creation, man. You know, we got to create problems so that we have to hire more people to solve the problems. Oh, they're all there.
The problems are all there, man. We got to get out of here, Phil.
Manny, thank you very much one more time. And thank you, everybody, for following, listening, following us on Instagram. If there's anything, if you want to come on the show, any of everybody's welcome. Yeah, hit me up in LinkedIn, for sure. Whatever it may be, or DM me. But this is going to be an ongoing topic.
Every Friday.
All right.
That's it. Thanks, Phil. We're out of here.
You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1, for workers by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10-plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.